Hi there, and welcome to the sixth story in our Campfire Story series. While I'm recording this story, the weather is as hot as it's been in a very long time. It's easy on days like this to feel sleepy and lazy, and that's perfectly all right. However, this is a story about why it's not very good to be lazy all the time, and our hero in this story is a familiar character, good old Rabbit, who's been known for a scheme or two in his time. So, if you're sitting comfortably and not feeling too lazy, why don't you lie back, close your eyes and imagine, and enjoy the story today. Do you remember Hawenniu, the Everything Maker? Together with Sky Woman, they helped form the world as we know it. It was Hawenniu who gave Bear her claws like sickle moons, and Owl his big eyes, by shaking some sense into him. Hawenniu made sure Otter's coat was warm enough for swimming in cold rivers, and gave Turtle his cunning and patience. In the old time, Rabbit was Hawenniu's forest guide, and helped when people got lost in the woods. But as time went on, humans and animals learned to find their own way through the trees and didn't need the rabbit's services so often. Rabbit grew soft and lazy. If there was something easy and pleasant to do, he did it. If something that needed doing was difficult or tiring, he did not do it. Now, that is no way to keep a wigwam stocked with food. Often, Rabbit's grandmother, with whom he lived, had to hunt for food herself, or they would have gone hungry. And no matter how much she scolded him, Rabbit refused to mend his ways. Hawenniu, far in his lodge in the high hills, saw that the rabbit was becoming a completely useless creature, who wouldn't even find food for his own grandmother. He must be warned against the dangers of laziness, Hawenniu thought. So, wasting no time, he descended from his lodge to the beach in three huge strides, launched his canoe, and paddled across the lake to the shore near the rabbit's home. It was a fine, bright morning, the air cool and tasting of honey, as it always does when pine trees are near. And presently, along hopped the rabbit, singing with fine spirit, "It's a lovely day to do nothing, nothing all the day through." He paid no attention to the tasty leaves and berries he might have been gathering for dinner. He was much more interested in watching the other people work. There was the squirrel scampering up the big maple tree, his cheeks bulged out with nuts. And there was Bumblebee, busy at the flowers by the edge of the lake, gathering pollen for his hive. And there was the jay, flying worms to his family up in the big pine tree. It was so interesting that Rabbit stopped under a huge fir to enjoy the scene. Suddenly, behind him, he heard a voice. "Rabbit, be careful." The rabbit jumped and whirled about, but there was nobody there. The voice spoke again from somewhere over his head. "Take care, Rabbit, or you'll regret your lazy ways." The rabbit looked up and saw the fir tree shake like a leaf in a storm, yet not a breath of wind stirred. Frightened out of his wits, he ran, and he never stopped running till he was safe at home, where he told his grandmother what had happened. "Hawenniu has given you a warning," said his grandmother. "Be sure to obey him, grandson, or you will be sorry." The rabbit's legs were still trembling from fright. Also, he hadn't run in a very long time, and he promised at once that he would take care to mend his lazy ways in future. And indeed, for a while, he went busily about his hunting and kept the wigwam well stocked with food. But when autumn came, he grew lazy again and went back to his old careless ways. "It's a lovely day to do nothing, nothing all the day through." So sang Rabbit as he sauntered through the glory of the autumn leaves. His grandmother begged and scolded and pleaded, but he continued to spend more time visiting his neighbors than gathering food. One day, when winter had come to the land, he went to the wigwam of Otter. An otter politely asked him to have supper with him, and the rabbit promptly accepted. Otter told his grandmother, with whom he lived. Then he took some fish hooks and went off. The rabbit hopped along behind, curious to see what he was going to do. Otter sat on the snowy bank of the river and slid down an icy path into the water. In a flash, he reappeared with a string of eels, which he carried to his grandmother, and she promptly cooked them up for supper. "Gracious," thought Rabbit, "what an easy way to get a living. I can do that as well as Otter," and he invited the otter to be his guest at dinner the following day. Then he hurried home. "Come, come, come," he said to his grandmother. "We're going to move our home down to the river." And in spite of all she could say, he insisted on moving it. His grandmother reminded him that the wigwam was empty of food and he ought to be out gathering, but Rabbit paid no attention. He was busy making a slide like Otter's. The weather was cold, so all he had to do was pour water down the snowy bank, where it soon froze, and there was his fishing slide. Early next day, Otter arrived. When it was time to eat, Rabbit said to his grandmother, "Get ready to make supper." "There's nothing to prepare," she said, a little annoyed. "I will see to that," said the rabbit with a confident laugh, and he took his place at the top of the slide to go fishing. When he tried to push off, however, he found it was not so easy. His coat was rough and bulky and dry, not smooth and slippery like the otter's. He had to wriggle and push with his heels until at last he slid down and plunged into the water. The cold took his breath away, and he suddenly remembered he wasn't able to swim. Struggling and squealing, he thought no more of fishing, for he was in great danger of drowning. "What on earth is the matter with him?" Otter asked the grandmother. "I suppose he's seen someone else do that," she sighed, "and he thinks he can do it too." Otter rolled his eyes, shot into the water like a spear, and helped the freezing, half-drowned rabbit out of the water. And, since there was nothing to eat, went home hungry and a little bit disgusted. But do you think that the cold bath cured Rabbit of his lazy ways? Not at all. The very next day, as he toddled idly through the forest, he came to the home of some woodpeckers. He was delighted when they invited him to supper. He watched eagerly to see how they found food. One of the woodpeckers took a dish, went up the side of an old beech tree, and quickly dug out a plentiful supply of food. "My, oh my," thought Rabbit, "how easily some people get a living. What's to say I can't do just like them?" And he told the woodpeckers that they must come and dine with him. On the following day, they appeared at the rabbit's wigwam, and Rabbit said to his grandmother, "Grandmother, get ready to make supper." "You foolish rabbit," she said, remembering the embarrassment with Otter. "There is nothing to prepare." "Make the fire," said Rabbit grandly, "and I shall see to the rest." He took the stone point from a spear and tied it on his forehead to look like a woodpecker's bill. Then he climbed a tree and began knocking his head against it as fast as he could. Soon his vision was shot with stars and he was draped limply over a branch, out cold. The woodpeckers could not keep from laughing. "What on earth is he doing up there?" "I suppose he's seen someone else do that," said Grandmother, shaking her head. "And he thinks he can do it too." And she told them to go home, as there would be no food for them there that day. Now, sore as he was, you would think the rabbit had learned his lesson. But just a day later, he was idling in the woods as usual, when he heard a piercing screech high up in the trees. and saw his old friend Owl drop out of the tallest branches of a pine and swoop onto an unsuspecting mouse so gracefully it was like watching a dancer. Rabbit got very excited, for this was the quickest way yet he had seen anybody get a meal. He called up to the owl, who was tidying his claws on the branch, mouse's tail still poking from the edge of his beak, and Rabbit invited him to supper the next day. At the appointed time, Rabbit told his grandmother to prepare the meal, and when she said there was nothing to prepare, he told her to stoke the fire and he would do the rest. Then he clambered up to the very top of a big pine tree, took two feathery branches, one in each hand, and waited to spot a mouse. Now, Rabbit's eyes are wide, and his ears are keen, and it wasn't long before a mouse came into sight. Rabbit narrowed his eyes, stretched out his arms, and, well, you can imagine what happened next. Owl raised one of his feathery eyebrows in disbelief. What on earth? It's the same old thing, Rabbit's grandmother sighed. He's seen someone else do this. Well, said Owl, trying not to let tears of laughter spill down his face. It is most disappointing to be asked to supper and get nothing to eat. Maybe I'll eat Rabbit instead. He's certainly very tender now. And he flew home, snorting with laughter. Then, at last, weaving his way home on unsteady feet, Rabbit remembered what Hawenniu had said. All at once, he saw how silly he had been. Oh, dear, he said, my own ways of getting food might be hard, but others are much harder. I shall never complain or try to take the quickest way again. And so it was. From then on, the wigwam of Rabbit and his grandmother was always well stored with food, winter and summer. And though he still sings, his song has changed. It's a wiser thing to be busy, busy constantly. And far away on the high hills, Hawenniu, seeing foolish Rabbit mend his ways at last, set a light to his pipe and smoked contentedly. And that's the end of our story. I hope you haven't felt too lazy these last few days and have managed to find time to help your family out as well. Thank you for listening. I'll wish you all a very good night.